This was recorded at the 15th Chinwag Live event, Real World Usability, on April 22nd, 2008 in London. Featuring on the panel Andy Budd of ClearLeft, Paul Dawson of Conchango, Uri Ravid from eBay UK, Flash developer and accessibility consultant Nikki Moret, and Brian Rieger of Future Platforms, with Giles Colburn of CX Partners chairing. The event was produced by Deirdre Malloy and Sam Michelle of Chinwag.
Thank you very much. When Sam asked me to head up the panel, he said two things which I thought were very interesting. Firstly, he said there's a free bar. And secondly, he said the others can do the talking. So tonight, what they'll be talking about is the future of usability. We find ourselves at something of a crossroads. There's a harsher economic climate and new platforms and paradigms emerging. And 7 years ago, during the last economic downturn, one of the remarkable things that happened was that usability and user-centered design shot from being a kind of a backroom discipline to being something that was at the heart of new media design. Today, I wonder if it's back to basics and a focus on ROI and metrics, or if the varied world of new media means that we have to open up our minds to brave new world and new ideas. Well, the others are going to do the talking, and so I'd like to introduce them all one by one. I'm sure they've got something to say for themselves as we go through. I'll begin with Uri Ravid on my left here. Uri is a user experience research manager at eBay, although he seems to have done everything from air traffic control to journalism and sales management in order to get there. I know Uri's working at one of the banner companies for the internet, and somewhere within a user experience team of 150 people spread all around the world. Uri, surely they're not all doing the same job.
Hello. Not really. Basically, I think the main group sits in the U.S. in the San Jose offices. And the main differentiation is the user experience people that are research focused and the designers. At some point, because it's such a big company, even everyone needs to focus on a very specific element of the site. There's a bit that people are getting sometimes too focused on what they're doing, and at some point we'd like to see some more integration between research and design. But overall, it's a big ship.
I mean, do you see that as the future of our discipline? Then, you know, more specialism and people really focused on individual parts of what is an increasingly detailed analysis of user behavior.
It's interesting because I think there should be some kind of a two-directional movement. I think in some aspect, people from other disciplines within the company or within the industry need to be more aware of user experience. On the other hand, the skills need to be more specified. So if I'm going outside eBay, for example, we can't, at the moment, from what I've seen in my work experience, user experience people tend to be generalists because we're only either one or two consultants on a project or maybe just a few people in the company, and then you need to do everything regarding user experience. I think if you're looking at the future, what you're going to see is that we need better skills to deal with prototyping, for example. So now you're looking at Flash and Ajax, but later on it's going to be tactile, it's going to be voice, it's going to be, we can't just pull on the Visio sheet and say, okay, this is the interaction and that's how it's going to work. So you need better skills on that. On the other hand, there needs to be people with higher level of understanding to deal with the higher level of brand, things that Paul is probably doing, so brand and user experience and strategy, and have a better understanding and better vision of a product.
That's great. Well, that's a good place to bring Paul Dawson in. Paul's head of interactive media at Conchango, and as it says here on his bio, Conchango has been rated by Forrester as one of the leaders of European digital design, and we're lucky enough to have Paul here, who's one of the leaders of digital design within Conchango. Paul, what do you see as the things that clients are interested in and excited about at the moment?
Funny enough, it's like Udi and I rehearsed this, which obviously we didn't. But a lot of themes that Udi talked about actually are common to us and also common to our clients. And I think what we've tried to do really in the last, particularly 2 to 3 years, is to move more into the experience planning space. And this is what we call total experience design, which is all those aspects of user experience through from research, testing, classic IA, interaction design, and right up to the kind of strategy experience planning level. And that's probably the single biggest thing that clients are starting to say, actually, we need that, because they've been very focused, exactly as Udi says, on very specific bits of a site or a proposition or things that are kind of working today, but never really stopping and stepping back and saying, what's the opportunity we're faced with? And that's, I guess, the biggest area of traction we're getting. And the interesting about it from our perspective is about how we're bringing the skills together to do that. Because it does involve a whole variety of people. And copywriters are as involved in the experience planning process as a classic sort of UX specialist, if you like. And similarly, issues around how you do interaction design and rapid prototyping or describe an interface that potentially doesn't have any edges to it, to a developer who's then expected to go ahead and build it, has all been very key to kind of what we've been doing, really. So, some very similar themes, but, back into this kind of total experience design. And the interesting thing there is that for the first time in a long time, we're being asked to look outside of our kind of traditional remit. So we only execute in digital. We don't do print. We don't do, environmental design. But it's increasingly more and more important to be able to step back and look at the holistic user journey or the customer journey to factor in all those other elements as part of an overall experience.
Well, it's interesting you talk about the mix of skills and backgrounds in a UX team. And I can't think of a better way to introduce Brian Reiger, who's creative director of Future Platforms. He too has a varied background, which, like many people I've met in this field, includes the theatre and animation. Brian, to return to our theme, is it back to basics or is it a brave new world that we're facing?
When I first read that synopsis, I wasn't really sure what my answer was going to be. And after thinking about it, I'm going to completely sit right on the fence. And I think it's both, actually, especially in my world, which is mobile. We've got the iPhone that just came out and raised the bar of user experience from what people expect on mobile devices now. But that said, if that's only true if you live in Silicon Valley or London or one of the modern major centers. One of our clients, who is in London actually, their user base is mostly out of Indonesia and India, and the devices they're using are about 5 years old. So we're actually having to go back and look at the technology from 5 years ago, kind of focus on the basics. And it's a bit of a fine balance to deliver user experiences across, both new devices that have all these wonderful capabilities and then the older ones that we kind of have to live with because they might not have been designed as well as they could have, and we made some mistakes, but that's what we're going to have for a few years yet.
Thanks. Our next panelist is Andy Budd, and many of you, I'm sure, will have seen Andy speaking at various events around the country. I've been an admirer of the work he's done for a long time. Andy styles himself creative director at ClearLeft, and there's always been that sort of tension, I think, between people in usability, let's say, and creatives. And I wondered, in your position, do you feel that usability stifles creativity? Is it a sort of inherently conservative discipline?
Thanks, Giles. I think that's a really interesting question. I think the usability industry is kind of broken down into sort of two almost separate camps. We've got the sort of real professional organizations that have, all they do is usability testing. And they have, very, very flashy suites with the two-way mirrors and the testing equipment. And this tends to be a very sort of summative approach. It usually happens at the end of the project, and it's usually to, test, try and find out, sort of almost on a Q&A sort of level, get the last little bits of usability problems out of the way. And I tend to find that this is not really the best way to approach usability testing. You know, at the end of the project where it's going to be costly to fix. And what you tend to find with these organizations, they're very, very good at selling usability. And they produce these lovely, intricate documents about all the various issues that come from the site. And then they get sent to the stakeholder, and they've got this 50-page document or this really, really long presentation. And they read it, and then they file it in their drawer, and nothing ever gets done with it. And this is not good usability. And I see a lot of usability companies running usability tests, which they know are trying to fix problems that are not usability problems. They're business problems. They're problems with the company's business model. But because they're set up as offering a service of usability, they're just kind of ticking the boxes. I think usability from a design point of view is much more interesting. I'm much more interested in formative usability testing, where you take a product or a service at a very, very early inception and test it to see what the issues are, to see what the problems are. And then take that information, take that design insight, and feed it back into the process. And then test it again and feed it back into the process. And by using this formative approach, usability testing can form a real integral part of the design process. And it gives you that design insight, it gives you that understanding into your users' mental models and how they perceive your site and how they perceive how it should work. So I think that's really sort of where I stand. I see usability testing as a fundamental design tool.
Thanks very much. Our last panelist is Nikki Merritt. Nikki, you describe yourself as a Flash developer and an accessibility consultant, which sounds like two different jobs to me. Which one are you?
It's one that I always often debate with as to what to put down when people expect a job title. And I think that in the way that we're going forward, there are certain things that we shouldn't actually take as being separate jobs. I mean, they can be separate jobs for a certain select group of people, but I think there's certain elements that as developers and as designers that we need to include in our workflow. And we're merging together, we're merging our roles together and needing to learn a lot more about things like accessibility and about usability in the process of development. So as Andy said from Clear Left, I mean, they take usability as a fundamental part of what they do. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily pegged as a usability consultant, or it's just a part of what they do. They also do accessibility in everything they do, pretty much. But they don't peg that as being an independent role or as an independent job function. It's something that as developers and as designers out there, we need to learn and we need to incorporate within what we do on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you very much. Well, that's our panel. We've learned a bit about them, and I think it's only fair we learn a bit about our audience too. So I mean, the first thing I'm interested to find out is how many people here would describe themselves as a usability specialist or working in usability? Just put your hands up. And of the people who are usability specialists, how many of you would say you had sort of a formal training in usability or user-centered design? So actually, a decent number, but by no means all. I mean, a small percentage. And it's interesting that, you know, everybody here seems to have come from a very kind of diverse background in usability. I wonder if the panel thinks, you know, are we giving people the right experiences for to become usability specialists? Is the training there at the moment?
I'll get that.
Well, I'll pick up on that. I think we are finding that there is a bit of a skills shortage amongst UX practitioners in the UK. I know we're recruiting for a role at the moment. We're finding it quite difficult to get good people. I keep getting friends of mine also, because they know that I'm quite sort of tacked into the user experience community in the UK, contacting me saying, look, we're having real difficulty getting good UX practitioners. I think one of the problems is I don't think usability is a taught skill. I think usability is a skill that you gain over time through experience. By using digital products and by designing digital products and messing up, basically, and learning the mistakes and watching people struggle with your products, you gain insight and you gain experience. And so I think it's very, very difficult for someone who's just graduated from a social science degree or HCI degree to walk straight into a job and become a qualified user experience practitioner. You can learn how to moderate tasks, you can learn how to, you know, write usability testing scripts, all that kind of stuff. And you can even, you know, pick up on the problems that people are facing. But to be a really good UX person, it's not only about figuring out what the problems are, but finding the design solution. And to do that, you need to have a really good understanding of design practice and methodology, and you need to have been doing it for years. So I think user experience and usability is something that you tend to do towards the middle of your career, and I think it's very difficult to find people straight out of university who are good, talented UX people.
Would you give a job to somebody straight out of university, Paul?
Yeah, there's one sat over there, actually. He's brilliant. Stand up. Oh, he already made an appearance to the front, anyway. I think that's true to an extent, because there is a very good education system in this, particularly in this country, around HCI, product ergonomics, those kind of disciplines. And early on in a career, what I would agree with is that the focus is almost too narrow. So it's seeing the one aspect of that discipline and being very detailed about that. So absolutely focusing in somewhere like where it used to be the test lab might focus. So things about consistency, things about appropriateness of controls in certain places on the site and so on, that you can be too overly focused on. The widening of the experience comes later on when you're allowed to explore different design options and solutions. And there is a learning experience that we probably go through every month where you might try something just to be different or to try and innovate around, move away from a kind of conventional way of doing things and find a better way of doing things, which often results in absolute failure. So therefore, good user-centered design practices where you're able to test and find that failure out early are absolutely critical. I totally agree on that as well. To an extent. But the other one is about team working and being able to put people who may start with quite a narrow focus alongside other people who have that different attitude or approach. So we have some people who 10 years into their careers who have come from a creative director background or from a design perspective purely, who've accumulated the usability knowledge. And we've got people who've come from a classic HCI, human-computer interaction perspective, who've then over time accumulated an understanding of brand experience, for example. And that's where the kind of pinnacle is. That's where the kind of really good stuff comes from. So I'd say, and equally, yes, there's absolutely a skills shortage. So if anyone wants to give me their card at any point during the evening, you're more than welcome. There's interesting stuff to do at Conchango. But anyway, that's the plug over.
Thanks. Somebody said once it takes about 10 years to in a discipline to become a genius. So does that mean that we're all geniuses?
No.